This is The Political Scene, a weekly conversation with New Yorker writers and editors about politics. It's Thursday, August 18th. I'm Evan Osnos, a staff writer at The New Yorker, filling in for Dorothy Wickenden. This week brought news of some big changes at the top ranks of the Republican campaign for president. Donald Trump's campaign manager, Paul Manafort, will no longer have day-to-day control. That now belongs to an aggressive new hire, the chairman of Breitbart News, a man named Stephen Bannon. Also on board is Roger Ailes, the ousted chairman of Fox News, who will be helping Trump prepare for presidential debates. And none of this, however, has changed the positions of the candidate's two most stalwart advisors, his daughter, Ivanka Trump, and her husband, the young mogul named Jared Kushner. In July, it was Ivanka who introduced her father as the Republican nominee for president.
If it's possible to be famous and yet not really well known, that describes the father who raised me. In the same office in Trump Tower, where we now work together, I remember playing on the floor by my father's desk, constructing miniature buildings with Legos and erector sets, while he did the same with concrete, steel, and glass. My father taught my siblings and me the importance of positive values and a strong ethical compass.
In this week's magazine, Lizzie Witticombe published a double profile of Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner, and she joins me to discuss their positions in Trump's political world and the complexities around a candidate's adult children in a presidential campaign. Lizzie, welcome.
Hi.
As you know, most of the time, we don't profile the adult children of presidential candidates, but this really was a different case. Ivanka Trump and her husband clearly occupy a special position, a more elevated position, we might say. What roles exactly are Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner playing in the Trump campaign?
They're playing an informal role, both of them, but a very large one. And I think part of that is due to the vacuum around Trump of really high-level professionals. Each of them has a different role. Ivanka has been more of Donald Trump's sort of key surrogate and spokesperson, giving speeches that sort of testify to his good character and appreciation of women, and at times sort of almost playing the role of a campaign spouse, since Melania Trump, his wife, seems to be a little more private. Jared, his son-in-law, appears to have really taken on more of a role of a behind-the-scenes strategist. He does a lot of the key hiring and really overseeing a lot of very major parts of the campaign that would normally be run by a much higher-level professional political operative like a David Axelrod type. So it's, you know, George W. Bush played a big role in his father's campaign. This has happened before, but the difference this time is that, you know, it kind of is the kids and not a lot of other people. And they're both, it's pretty clear, in different ways, actively participating in the campaign.
You know, one of the things that's interesting is that when you go out on the trail, if you go to a Trump rally and you talk to people in the crowd, from the very first days, you would encounter people who said that one of the reasons they liked Donald Trump, frankly, was his daughter. It was Ivanka. To the degree that people know about Ivanka Trump, they see her today. But you spent time going back and understanding sort of where she came from and what kind of life she had growing up. What was it like growing up as Ivanka Trump?
Trying to understand her, you do have to understand that she had what a lot of us would think of as a pretty weird life. Her parents' divorce, which happened when she was nine, was the sort of giant tabloid event of that era. And she tells the story of how she was accosted by paparazzi outside her school when she was 9 years old, you know. So she had a weird life. And I think that all that exposure was very formative. She has said and does say that it made her guarded in a certain way. And it also made her aware of, I guess, the power of media. And I think her relationship with her dad is sort of an odd one because it's complicated because this is all what she said, that he wasn't present physically very much at all, but they were still close. Their main contact was on the phone. And the story that she always tells is that, and that people who were close to him, who I spoke with, confirmed that she could call any time of day and he would pick up the phone.
And that was not a privilege that was extended, from what I gather, to her siblings.
Or it's questionable whether, you know, I don't think Ivana always had that privilege. I think she was his favorite child and maybe person.
Yeah, as you say, she has been always, almost from the time she was a little child, a public person. And it's a complicated public persona. She is today simultaneously a doting daughter. She's a very savvy businesswoman. But she's also a very fierce advocate for her father and his campaign. And yet she doesn't describe herself as a Republican, right? At the convention, she said, I don't see myself strictly as a Republican or a Democrat. And almost nothing in her previous public experience would have suggested that she would become an essential player in a campaign that has promoted, as we all know, populism, nationalism, and a kind of racial anxiety. You know, some people naturally have to wonder if she is a reluctant participant here.
Well, that's what I assumed, and that's what I think people assumed about both her and Jared. But going a little deeper into it, I think that's like projection. It's what you would think, but it's not true at all. They're not at all reluctant participants. They're, in fact, actually very enthusiastic and unapologetic participants, which is hard to square with both of them for different reasons.
And did you ever come to a sense in your own mind of how it is that she decided that this is going to be as much of a part of her life as it is, to one degree or another, to in her father's life?
Well, So it involves getting into a little bit of armchair psychology. But with Ivanka, it's not that hard to understand. We all have people in our life who we love and idealize, and things happen that come into conflict with that. But we kind of rationalize it and somehow continue to stick by them. She's always idolized her dad, and they've always been very close, and she owes her career to him. So it's not surprising that she would support him. It is wild when you see the contrast between her Instagram feed, you know, which is like talking about shoes and babies and all these really happy things, and then sort of the white nationalist overtones of the campaign. And it's even funny, when I look at her Instagram feed, like half the comments are from like so-and-so, like David Duke for president. And then half of them are from people saying, oh, I love those shoes. You know? So it's pretty wild. But yeah, I think she idolizes him and thinks he's a wonderful person, which by all accounts he has been to her. I mean, what she says is that she disagrees with some of the things he has said, but loyalty to him and to her family comes first.
We're going to turn in just a second to the story of Jared Kushner, but just on Ivanka, I'm curious about the fact that she, in her work and in her convention speech, she's advocated for affordable child care, equal pay for women. How much is that actually reflected in Trump's campaign?
I don't think that's one of his big causes, but I just read from the New York Times, you know, that in conversations with his advisors, he has said, oh, well, we got to push for these policies. So I think that's her having an impact on his platform.
Hi, it's David Remnick. If you're enjoying this podcast, you might enjoy even more of what The New Yorker has to offer. Becoming a subscriber gives you unlimited access to The New Yorker, including Pulitzer Prize-winning reporting, insightful cultural commentary, and fiction and poetry. You'll also enjoy our delightful cartoons, crossword puzzles, narrated stories, and much more. This past year, our readers were gripped by Ronan Farrow's profile of Elon Musk, Heidi Blake's extraordinary tale about Dubai's runaway princesses, and much more. Visit NewYorker.com to gain access to all this and more. Use the code POD15, P-O-D-1-5, to secure a 15% discount on a yearly digital subscription. That's POD15 for a 15% discount.
If Americans are somewhat familiar with Ivanka Trump, they were probably a lot less familiar at the beginning of this campaign with her husband, Jared Kushner. So if you will, tell us a bit about who he is. Where is he from? How did he become a part of the Trump family?
The saga of the Trump family is totally fascinating American soap opera, and it turns out that the Kushner family is just as, if not more, colorful. So it's quite something to dig into. Jared comes from a big New Jersey real estate family, and a family that is in many ways a lot like the Trumps. They sort of made their wealth outside of Manhattan in middle-class housing. And Jared's grandparents were Holocaust survivors, and his grandfather sort of like built from scratch, starting out as a carpenter, started building houses, and then his father turned that into this massive empire, like of over $1 billion. And then his father actually became a hugely influential figure in Democratic politics in New Jersey before he was sort of brought down in spectacular fashion by Chris Christie, who was then a U.S. attorney in New Jersey, who did an investigation into illegal campaign donations he had made. And the whole story is very baroque tale involving a family feud and a sex scandal. And, in many ways, that's been the defining event of Jared's life. He's ambitious, and that's probably why. He is a wealthy real estate heir, but in a lot of ways, I know that he and his family view themselves as outsiders, and his father was sort of excommunicated from elite circles in business and political circles after this.
One of the things that you point out in the piece is that Jared Kushner has really come to play a very influential role in the campaign. And over the last few months, I've heard about visitors, foreign officials, for instance, or policy experts that are going to brief the Trump campaign, and then they arrive and it is, in fact, Jared Kushner who they are briefing. So one of the themes here, if you look at the Trump campaign, is that you have many of the people who are closest to him are very new to politics. I mean, they're either outsiders who had just a glancing interaction with it, or in Jared's case, he was sort of at his father's knee. Or now with these new changes going on at the top of the campaign, you have somebody in the person of Stephen Bannon who hasn't run a presidential campaign before. How do you think the fact that there are all of these new players, how has that shaped what the Trump campaign is today?
I mean, I think that pretty much explains it. Like, it's pretty much explains why it's like nothing anybody's ever seen. And I think that they continue to alienate the establishment. I guess it remains to be seen how that all pans out. But it seems like the rift between the Republican establishment and the Trump operation is only deepening.
There are a lot of changes going on at the top of the campaign these days. Do you have a sense of what this might mean for Ivanka and Jared?
I kind of think it's going to be a net positive for Ivanka and Jared.
Meaning that their influence in the campaign won't be diminished particularly.
Who knows? But whether or not the campaign is successful, I think they have both massively elevated their own profiles, Jared especially. You know, there's definitely a question in my piece about how much damage this has done to the Trump brand, which might be something Ivanka has to deal with. Nevertheless, this has put her in a way more public situation than she would have been otherwise. So I think we're going to be seeing more of them. I can't begin to guess in how, but I don't think they're going anywhere.
Thanks, Lizzie.
Okay, thanks so much.
Lizzie Widdicombe is on the editorial staff of The New Yorker. You can read her piece on Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner in this week's issue of the magazine. This has been The Political Scene from The New Yorker. You can find more political analysis and commentary on newyorker.com or on The New Yorker apps, available at no extra charge from the App Store and Google Play. And you can subscribe to this and other New Yorker podcasts by searching for The New Yorker in your podcast app. The Political Scene is produced by Alex Barron and Jill Duboff for NewYorker.com. I'm Evan Osnos.